Good evening, James McCanny here with My Science Hour. It is for August 12, 2021, and a lot of topics to cover tonight. You'll hear these topics as I go into them. I'll be talking about fires, worldwide fires. I'll be talking about politicization of the sports world. Just a little bit of commentary. I know you've been overhearing that. But I do have some commentary. And also, by the way, yesterday I was I'm the guest with John Moore every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock Central Time. I think that's his second hour. I think he does 3 hours a day. And so I was the guest on there discussing a few topics. And then I was the guest host. There I was, the host, on the Power Hour yesterday, Power Hour with the Joyce Riley Show. And that was a very packed show, and it's something I'll be talking about, some of those topics tonight, including nanoparticle graphene oxide, which they want to get into your bodies, and kind of clarify what that is and what it's all about, etc. But I suggest also, because yesterday I did 2 hours on the Power Hour, it covered a range of topics, which I think all of you should listen to. So if you have time, go back and listen to the archives. It was the August 11th show, the entire show, 2 hours of the Power Hour. And there's another show called Power Hour, too, but this is the Power Hour. I think it's called Power Hour Nation. And I'm not sure all the places where you would find it posted. I'm sure there's multiple places. But listen to my talking head interview yesterday, where I did not have guests. I could have had guests on, and I've had guests in the past. And that's for particular topics where you have discussion, etc. But yesterday I just wanted to have this entire two-hour session to air out on a number of very important topics, and I'll be covering partially some of those in my 1 hour tonight. First of all, I want to offer everybody out there, my faithful listeners, etc., an extra 10% off on my webpage. Now, let me just explain what's kind of happened in the last few years. As I developed this amazing new product line that's on my webpage for the water filter products, the JMCC water filters product line has made a big step up in that time frame, little one piece at a time, so to speak, and now it's completely in place. And I've explained this before, that previously I've had issues with being able to meet orders in a timely fashion, because it's really difficult to manufacture the ceramic filters, and they break. Sometimes they have a higher breakage rate when they're being shipped, so there were some issues. But the biggest thing is I couldn't grow. I couldn't grow as a person providing premium products in the water filter market, so I had to do something. So I went out, and now they're called HI. Before, the ceramic filters I called GF filters. So now they're HI filters, and they're something that I can manufacture at a much larger scale, much, much, much larger scale. That allows me to enter larger new markets. And people still want, some people say, oh, well, I really like the old ceramics. I can still get those. They're still available. You can find a link on there on my webpage for those. And that's fine, you know, if that's people's preference. But in terms of the MR5, which has the big 20-inch filters, they're the new HI filters only for that. But the point is that right now on my water filter sales page, which is brand new, by the way, also very easy to use, very modern. It's everything you expect from a modern web page. And there's right now a 10% sale off on everything that's there. It's, well, more or less 10%, give or take a few pennies. But what I'm doing is I'm offering you another 10% off, and this will be good until next week's show. So basically, next week's show, this sale will end with the extra 10% off. So if you go to my sales page and then you go to the checkout page, there's a place to put in a coupon code, and that coupon code is simply four letters, JMCC. And with that, you will get a 10% discount off of anything you've purchased from my webpage. And what I'm encouraging people to do is get the MR5 whole house water filter. It's really, in these days and ages, it's very important to have a filter that really does the job. The other thing about the new HI filters for the for both the gravity and for the MR5, the whole house water filter, is they have a much smaller pore size. And on the ceramic filters, they had a pore size that was set by the construction of the ceramic. That's the outer part of the filter. Well, I've replaced that with a different filtering mechanism, and now they're 10 to 100 times smaller pore size. That means the initial, anything physical gets filtered out 10 to 100 times smaller than what the ceramics did. And also, the mediums that are taking things out are just as good and better. They take out other things like gases. And I'll tell you something, I get people writing in, they go, well, you know, does that mean I have to throw out my ceramic filters? No, not at all, not at all. The actual difference in filtration is not that much. It's a step up, but it's like if you bought a car this year, and then next year they come out with a little bit better car, you know, whatever model you're buying. Would you expect every year to be the same model as you bought last year? No, of course not. It's product development. It's the way the modern world works. The ceramic filters, I still use myself. I love them. They're great. But when they arrive at a customer's site and they're all smashed, and then you have to replace them, and the carrier doesn't want to replace them, it becomes a problem. But the biggest thing is that I could not make enough of them. And if you experience buying the ceramic filters from me in the past, sometimes had to wait weeks or months sometimes to get your order filled, and it was like kind of strenuous. That doesn't happen anymore because I have large manufacturing capability, have things in stock, on the shelf, etc. So anyway, that's just a little explanation of the business. But if you go to my webpage, it's jmccwaterfilters.com. That's plural, filters, plural. jmccwaterfilters.com. And even I can remember that, a very short name. And at the coupon code, when you get to the checkout page, no matter what you purchase there, you get another 10% off by using the coupon code JMCC. As simple as that. It's J, M as in Mary, CC. Okay, enough of that. Enough of this selfless promotion. But I think it's important. I'm going to be talking tonight about nanoparticles and graphene oxide potentially being put in the water system to get it into your body. And I'm telling people to get a filter system, and this is whole house. In other words, the hot water, the cold water, if you're in the shower, everything it takes out down to that 0.1 micron level in the whole house. And in the gravity filters, it's down to 0.01. That's down to virus size there. And so anyway, it's very important. And I do not advertise that the filters take out viruses. I have a UV filter as an optional add-on to the MR5 whole house water filter. And that is a bacteria virus filter. That's what it's for. It's the best one on the market. It's the longest. It has the most powerful ultraviolet light. It has the biggest input and output ports. And it's stainless steel. I mean, it's the best one on the market. And so that's available. That's on sale too. So what people typically do, and what I'm encouraging, and people go, well, gee, that's a lot of money. It's like $1,599, about $1,600 for the MR5 unit, another $500, $499 for the UV filter. But I'm telling you, people, you need something in your house to filter out whatever's coming at you. The PFAS chemicals are removed, fluoride, glyphosates, you know, the long pharmaceuticals, arsenic, did I say that? Fluoride and chlorine and everything in your water. These are targeted filtration, excellent filters. Anyway, I'll be talking more about graphene oxide and potentially being in the water systems. I'll be talking about that tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about the fire situation and the drought situation around the world. And this is, now, when CNN's top article yesterday morning, CNN, the CIA national news media, which they purchased from Ted Turner in 1991, if you don't remember back then or you weren't alive, 1991 was the first Gulf War with George Bush Sr. And both Saddam Hussein and George Bush Sr., President of the United States, Saddam Hussein, President or whatever, you know, Emirate elect or whatever of Iraq, they watched the CNN News live coverage of the rockets going off. That's how we knew what was going on. That's how the president knew what was going on. So after the war, the fake war, whatever, was over, the falsely caused war, whatever, was over, the CIA went in and bought CNN from Ted Turner, paid him a nice handsome price, and that's where CNN came from. So you got, see, it's filled with CIA plants. So anyway, the end result was that yesterday morning, when I want to go see what they're trying to pump and thump as far as the disinformation, I go to CNN. I don't go there for news. I go there to see what disinformation is trying to be pawned off on you, the public. And yesterday morning, the top story on CNN online was that debunking the idea that wildfires are set, and their claim was, no, it's due to climate change. So they're pumping the climate change card, and that, nope, this is just natural, folks. Just sit back, and if nothing else, it's caused by you driving your SUV up and down the road. That you're the cause, yeah. So anyway, so you know that they're trying to deflect the flak that's coming from all of these countries in the world, and of course there are seasons, California, the West Coast, all of these places around the world, Africa, you know, South America, Asia, China, all have propensity for dry seasons and therefore fires. Greece, not to mention Turkey, those Mideast countries on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, having fires that are just burning the whole place down, entire islands being consumed by fire. But the issue is that in, what was it, 2004, I believe it was, I came out with my book, Principia Meteorologia, The Physics of Sun, Earth, Weather, and I talk about weather modification. Well, now they've got it to the point where they can do climate modification by changing the wind patterns that drive weather to a certain area, like these different places on Earth, and they can use they do this using laser satellites to create low and high pressure cells, which drive, in the case of the dry areas, just keep driving that warm, dry air there. But in another place in the world, it's going to be cold and wet, because there's a balance on Earth. And so if they're taking dry air and they're continually moving it, because, see, the Earth is set up with eddy currents of wind, and these are based on electrical currents from the sun. That's how it works. But if somebody is concentrating and always moving warm, dry air into an area, well, hey, buddy, no rain is going to dry out, and all of that nice foliage out there is going to be a tinderbox waiting to go up. So they can control the climate. And of course, CNN, when they say climate change, they're talking about you are the problem driving your SUV up and down the road, and you're the one that's causing all these wildfires. And then, of course, you got the greenies running around jumping up and down going, ooh, climate change, climate change. you know, the Trekkies, the and frankly, I'm an ecologist myself. I'm a ecologically minded person, but I also know what's going on this planet, and I don't have my rosy little sunglasses on all the time. Okay, so as my Uncle Ben used to say, he's open up your big brown eyes and see what's going on around you in the world. And that's true of a lot of people. They have no clue. They have no clue. They get something in their brain, and they jump up and down, and they think they're saving the world, and they have no clue what they're talking about. Anyway, so the whole issue here is that when there is dry, hot weather on the west coast of the United States, Greece, you know, India, other places, it's wet in other places, and most people live in the northern hemisphere. So they're totally, totally oblivious to what's going on in the southern hemisphere. I talked about this last week, that Brazil, it's snowing in Brazil. They had snow. It killed the coffee crop. The sugar cane was stunted. The other products that are grown in large quantities in Brazil have failed because it's too cold. So if they're driving the hot weather continually to someplace, it's going to be cold and raining. And so what happens? You have warm, water-laden air that comes in off of the oceans. The cold front moves in from the south. It causes the rain, and so it's raining and cold in a lot of the southern hemisphere around the world. And that's a result of them forcing the warm, dry air into certain areas to create the climate, and this is long-term. So it used to be that they could control this for a day or two or a few days if it were in the case of a hurricane. Now they can control climate in an area that is for long periods of time. And so that's the difference between weather and climate. Weather is short-term atmospheric conditions. Climate is long-term atmospheric conditions. So they now can control climate, which is long-term weather. That's as simple as it is. Okay, let me look on my list here. There's a lot of activity going on with election fraud. Keep an eye on that. Mike Lindell and I encourage you. I'm not going to repeat these topics I did on the Power Hour yesterday. I'm going through them. I'm kind of looking at my notes here. Okay, I'm going to jump right in. But this is important. I'm going to take a little bit different twist on this than I did on the Power Hour, but I have to get this very, very important message to you, the listeners, regarding graphene oxide. And so anyway, I'm going to read this again because there are people who won't be able to listen to the Power Hour show. So I'm going to read this abstract. This comes from an analytical chemistry peer-reviewed journal. The article was published last March, which meant that it was written, the research was done potentially years ago, dealing with magnetic graphene oxide. And so graphene oxide is a material that's made up of carbon and oxygen atoms. And the situation with graphene is a layer, an atomic layer thick piece of material, or graphite, I should say. But graphene is an atomic layer, but the chemical structure, the bonding structure of carbon, which is the main component of graphene, only forms in three dimensions. So what they do is they slip in some oxygen atoms into the mix, and it comes out flat. It comes out in a plane and only one atom thick. So it has some very amazing properties and a lot of uses. And what they've discovered is that they believe this is very useful for biomedicine. And that's where it comes into play. This is the electrical interface between your body and the AI, the artificial intelligence world that they're building with 5G. And this is what the vaccination was all about, was to get everybody to take a shot and put graphene oxide with nanoparticles in your body, where then that would set up an electrical interface between other things that they plan on putting in your body. That is the goal. So they wanted everybody to get a shot. It has nothing to do with COVID. there, if you looked at the whole issue with COVID, and let me explain this to everybody out there. There are people saying, there are doctors saying they've cured COVID, etc. There is nobody that is on record of having done the proper steps regarding, in fact, if you want to read John Rappaport, he's been one of the big people dealing with this, that there's no, and other people too. I mean, the internet is full of the people who are talking about the fact. In fact, there's 7 universities at last count. This is number is growing, suing the CDC, the World Health Organization, and other so-called health organizations, suing them because they can't produce the information that proves there is a virus. There are claims that the virus has been isolated, but they're fictitious claims. Nobody has been able to produce the studies. People have claimed they have isolated the virus, but then when you read the papers, they're all convoluted. They've used computers to insert pieces that they think should be there. It's just all convoluted, but nobody has really done the homework to actually isolate a virus. So it turns out that the vaccine, in fact, if there were a virus, it has very low toxicity. It has very low probability of affecting people. And so why were all these people going to the hospital and dying? Well, that's another story. And that's so anyway, I talk about that on the Power Hour also. Basically, what it appears from my point of view here is that they were sprinkling, I call it fairy dust, and it could have been graphene oxide. In fact, that they were sprinkling in ventilation systems in very specific areas like New York, in the high concentration areas of so-called COVID back in February of 2020, then these people would get this in their lungs, they'd have a immune system overreaction, they'd go choking into the hospital, they'd stick them on a respirator and kill them. And this is what Tony Fauci, the war criminal who resides in Washington, D.C., should be arrested, imprisoned, and possibly bring back the guillotine for a public beheading. This is what he told Trump to do. And remember, Trump went out and, based on this recommendation, had Ford, or was it GM, or I forget, car companies building respirators so that there were enough respirators for the country. And it was the exact opposite therapy that was required for these people, because they were killing people with the respirators. And when doctors came out and said, hey, this is the wrong therapy, these people are dying because of lack of oxygen, because their lungs are not accepting it, that's the problem. And so, anyway, that's a long story. That's a long involved story of its own. But the point is that what I want to talk about tonight is graphene oxide. It's a carbon-based oxygen thin layer that is used for, they're planning on using this for all kinds of issues in biomedicine. Okay, so I am pulling up the article right now that I'm going to read the abstract from, this is very important. So this is going to be about 5 minutes of rather convoluted text, but I want you to listen to this because I'm going to pick this apart piece by piece. This is an abstract, once again, from March, this past March 2021, article in Analytical Chemistry Journal. It's called Trends in Analytical Chemistry, March 2021. And it's talking about magnetic graphene oxide, and it's, anyway, I will talk about this. I'll explain all of this once I read the abstract. So here I go. I'm reading now. Magnetic graphene oxide, a compound of magnetic nanoparticles and graphene oxide, possesses distinct physical and chemical characteristics, including nano size, a large specific surface area, paramagnetic and biocompatible properties, making it promising biomaterial in the field of biomedicine. In particular, its excellent characteristics, including the integration of specific photothermal properties, magnetic thermal properties, paramagnetism, active chemical bonds, hydrophilicity, and cytotoxicity, have been applied to remarkable bio applications in bioimaging, biosensors, biochemical extraction and separation, stem cell regulation, and the induction of differentiation, targeted drug delivery, and cancer therapy. In this review, the last sentence says, we concentrate on the approaches of preparation, fundamental structures, biocompatibility, and the biomedical applications of magnetic graphene oxide composites. Okay, that's what it says. What does this mean? This means that graphene oxide is now commonly used in biomedicine, and they list these things where they're expecting to have remarkable. But look at some of the things they can do. Targeted drug delivery. If they can get graphene oxide into a certain area of your body and they can control this, they can now control it so it goes and attaches to your liver or to you another, say, organ in your body or a certain region of your body. And then they can deliver a drug that attaches to that, that's looking for the graphene oxide and only operates where there's graphene oxide. Then they have a targeted drug delivery system. And so that might be handy if you could get the graphene oxide on the cancer cell and then only send your therapeutic drugs there and not have it affect every place else, as is currently the case. So that sounds like something that's good. But then they say, for example, low cytotoxicity. That means they believe that this has very little effect on the body. Well, I challenge them to really, where do they get this? Where do they get the idea that there's low toxicity to the body? They don't offer any references. They don't offer any studies. They just say it. And so it's like one of those things, if you keep repeating it enough times, maybe it'll get repeated and nobody will really know where it ever started from. Now, I'll read some of the other terms here. Hydrophilicity. What does that mean? That means that the graphene oxide, it spreads in water. It spreads in water. It distributes evenly if it's placed in water. And this is the part that I want to get at, because when they give you the injection, there's indication there's graphene oxide in the injections, the COVID-19 so-called vaccine. And it would make sense, because that's a way of getting this in quantity into your bloodstream and distributed in your body. And what does this mean? This is the computer interface that they want in your body, so then they can add other things into your body basically you're an AI chip now. You're a AI carrier that can be affected by 5G. You can be affected by magnetic properties. Remember, they said in here, magnetic thermal properties. In other words, they can do something like an MRI, a magnetic resonance imaging, or some other medical technique and interact with the graphene oxide because it's magnetic. Remember the people were getting shots and they were having magnetic reactions, that you could put a magnet and their skin would pull up? Well, there's not enough of this stuff in an injection, if it's actually in there, which it, for all practical purposes, is very likely that that's what they're injecting in the vaccines. I believe those statements by people that there's a magnetic interaction. And what happens is that magnetic fields couple. So if you take a magnet in one hand, you take another magnet in another hand, and you bring them together, if the North and the South Pole are aligned, they will pull together. They will align. And that will cause a stronger magnetic field than you had before when the two combine. And if there's other, say that you had iron in the vicinity, then the iron would attract and add to the magnetic field also. So what's going on? They put a magnetic graphene oxide material in your body, and that is accumulating other things that are magnetic. So in the first of all, in the region of the shot, and then in other regions where it's accumulating magnetic materials in your body, such as iron. Iron is probably the best, the biggest one in your body, and your body needs iron. There's a quantity of iron already in your body. So anything magnetic or paramagnetic will accumulate in a certain region in your body, and therefore, and then when you take a magnet up to your skin, all of that stuff is going to accumulate underneath your skin and come rising up. So it explains physically what people are observing. And that's the first time I think I've ever heard myself an explanation of actually what is going on with this magnetism of people who've gotten the so-called vaccine. Okay, so anyway, that's one of the uses. Let me go through these in order so I don't skip any. And so photothermal properties, what does that mean? That means that you could take, photo implies either visible light or typically infrared, which your body has a lot of both working inside, because your skin is a little bit transparent. Light goes through your skin, but also the infrared is heat. And so that means that the graphene oxide could be used to transmit thermal properties and therefore be used, for example, in some type of imaging process. So that would seem to be, from a medical standpoint, a benefit. But then again, from a point of view of you just walking down the street and having your information transmitted into the AI network because you got this stuff in your body, you see, this is where the problem comes in, because they want this in people's bodies. And I'm going to tell you how to keep it out of your body, because the two main delivery mechanisms are, one, injection, direct injection, as in the vaccine. And then the second one is through water, drinking water, showering water, and breathing in water, vapor, when you're in the shower. These are all ways of in putting graphene oxide in people's bodies. And the idea that there's no toxicity, that's never been proven. Do you know what you'd have to do to prove that? I mean, it would take decades of interaction with animals first. They have no clue. They're saying that in this article. They have no clue if it's toxic or not, or what the long-term effects are. It's not been around long enough to know what the long-term effects are. Certainly not been studied in a laboratory, certainly not with animals, and certainly not with first-level trials with humans. I mean, these people, where do these people come from? What planet? So now here are some remarkable bioapplications. They're saying remarkable, that's their word, not mine. Bioimaging, that's what I was saying. That they can take pictures of your body, of the internals of your body, using the fact that graphene oxide is in your body. Biosensors, that means that you could have little sensors all over in your body to detect chemical situations, enzymes, blood levels of different things. Biosensors means sensing, and then if you have a sensor, well, you have to have a way of distributing that information. And how do you do that? The next one is through magnetic thermal properties. So in other words, the magnetic part of the graphene oxide then has the ability to transmit this information, just like zeros and ones in a computer system. Biochemical extraction and separation. So in other words, they can send graphene oxide into your body and do an extraction of materials they're looking for on or in a specific area. For example, the benefit side is they might be able to, if somebody's got liver problems, they could direct the graphene oxide into the liver region and take samples without evasive or invasive surgery, etc. So that sounds like a good thing. But they could also use this to put your entire body on an AI program and then capture all of this information and say you're older and say you're having some issues, oh, doggone it, we just have to go eliminate this person because they're at the point of not being healthy, or their biochemical sensors are indicating they have this problem, so let's just go kill them. That's where this is going, folks. And the targeted drug delivery, as I said, they could put this in your system and then drugs or therapy, what they're calling therapy drugs, go to certain regions. Or maybe you're a problem person. Maybe you're a problem person and not getting along with the government. And they're going to put graphene oxide into your system so it goes into your brain. And that creative side of your brain is dulled. We just don't want these creative people around anymore. They're causing too many problems. Their thought patterns are allowing them to understand what we're doing. And we don't like that. We don't like these people being independent. So let's put graphene oxide in the part of their brains. And through 5G signaling, we'll just turn that off. This is where it's going, folks. This is where it's going. So now, let me ask you, do you want graphene oxide in your body? I don't. And I think everybody should be doing everything they can to keep it out of their body. I'm going to be giving some more information about this. But this is the problem with modern science, is they get on a topic, they create a monster, they want to present it as being a good monster. There's a, you know this show SpongeBob? SpongeBob, yeah, I remember, it's a kid's show. But every now and then I'm in a place and I'm visiting people and it's on TV. And it was a situation like that. I went in and these people's kids were watching SpongeBob. So I just kind of like watching also the TV. And so SpongeBob is left in charge of this monster. And the monster is frozen. And the guy that's in charge of this, he says, no matter what you do, don't let the monster thaw, because the monster is going to come out and destroy the world. And so SpongeBob is there, and it's a hot day, and the monster is thawing enough to where he can just barely talk. And so he goes to SpongeBob. He says, SpongeBob, I'm a really nice guy. They're keeping me here frozen, and I'm, you know, this is really, you know, can you help me out? And SpongeBob goes, hey, look, the guy told me, you're a monster, you're a bad guy. Don't let this guy become unthawed. And, you know, because you're going to go destroy the world. And the monster goes, well, SpongeBob, I'm really a nice guy. I would never do that. You have to believe me. And SpongeBob is like, you can see SpongeBob kind of breaking down a little bit. He goes, well, nah, I don't know. I was told never to do this. And SpongeBob goes, well, do you promise that if I let you out of being frozen, that you'll be good and you'll never go around and smash the world and do bad things? And he goes, yes, I promise. And SpongeBob goes, it's a classic line. He goes, that's good enough for me. He pulls the lever and the guy thaws out and he goes out and smashes everything. You know, he starts destroying the whole planet. And so anyway, that's the... That's a kid's version of what's going on. So when you read one of these gee whiz peer-reviewed medical journals, it just sounds like, oh, this is going to be so helpful for mankind. But every time you see something that's helpful for mankind, there's some deranged person, Bill Gates or Melinda Gates or whoever, that's going to pick up on this and turn it into something nutso. That's going to work against you, the public, just the way it is. And so the little SpongeBob SquarePants story that I just gave is a perfect example of something that looks good on the cover, but is not. Okay, so let me go back to the article here. I'm going to pull it up quickly, and we'll talk about a few other things. Also in this article, they're talking about how to make and fabricate graphene oxide with the magnetic nanoparticles. And so the issue is that they can make this in big sheets. in a one atomic layer thick. But then the trick is, how do you get small pieces of this which are controllable and repeatable? That's the thing. You can get small pieces all broken up, but what you want is something that's repeatable so that when you send it in, it can go in and attach to a certain area and be consistent. For example, I'm sure neurons in a nervous cell, especially in your brain, are going to be a different system than, say, your liver function. So you want these different sizes, different shapes, different amounts of magnetic material embedded into the grid of the graphene oxide, and different sizes, different characteristics, different level of magnetism, different things. And understand, this by itself, the graphene oxide by itself, is just a material. It's inert. It's not a biomaterial itself. It's like inorganic in a sense. But what it does is it allows it to attach to cells and other living entities in your body and become an electrical computer interface. And so they can send in drugs, they can send in other things, and when the drugs or the interface or whatever it is comes to a certain area where the graphene oxide is attached, then they can plug in. Just like you plugging in a socket into the wall, they plug in and now you have something that has got a mechanical, thermal, magnetic, photo, sensor, biosensor, biochemical interface into your cells, into your body, into all over your body. And they can put millions of these in there and target certain regions and then add something in. And that's the whole ticket, is that then they want to add things later that change you basically into this AI automaton. And they want the kids injected. They want everybody injected. Now they're going after the kids. And if you let your kids get injected with this stuff, and the idea that this is somehow has no toxicity when there's absolutely no proof, no verification of any kind, and they're just stating this, you can tell that these scientists are a bunch of wackos. They're in it for the grant money. What are they doing? They're working in a laboratory. They have no conscience. They're absolutely oblivious to the world around them. They're little scientific, like, bugs in a laboratory doing graphene oxide research and claiming that it's going to have all of these benefits and not ever realizing what the adverse effects are of some madman getting a hold of this and using it to control society. So one of the questions which I already covered here, I already talked a little bit about, is how big are these? Because if they're going to put it into the water system and you're going to try and take it out before you use that water, how big are these? How big are the particles? And right now, on a control level, they're quite large. If you get down to the atomic level, they could become increasingly small. How stable are these? Actually, they're quite stable. Carbon has one of the strongest. Carbon and oxygen are two of the strongest chemical bonding atoms in the whole periodic table. That's why carbon makes diamonds. A diamond is a very strong material because of the structure of the cellular structure, the way the carbon atoms bind together. Tremendously strong, and when it binds with oxygen, it's a tremendously strong structure too. So this stuff is going to be around long after any of us are dead. That graphene oxide is still going to be around in your body, and so. But basically, imagine it like this: imagine like you've all had experience, like with say a USB cable. Or an Ethernet cable on your computer. An electric plug has usually two or three or maybe four prongs when you plug it into a circuit into the wall. USB or an Ethernet cable has more electrical connections, but just imagine an electrical connection that might have 20 to 30 connectors. And so this is an interface into a cell. So all of the activity is going on in a cell, and that's what the nanoparticles are for. The nanoparticles are going to be an interface, and they're just getting started with the sophistication here. And the example I use is, imagine back when I was in college, I used an IBM 1130 computer. And it was a small computer. It sat in a room. I typed up the IBM punch cards, data cards, and you would put your program on these data cards, and then there was a card reader. You would put it in to the compiler. It would read it in and then compile the program and then run the program. And it was very soon. I mean, it wasn't, I was very limited with what I could do with this computer. It had about a millionth of computing power and memory as your, your cell phone. But that was the initial state of computing, and it was used for number crunching, adding and subtracting and working out numerical processes that would have taken a long time if you did them by hand or by a slide rule, which was the mathematical tool of the time. And so at that point, nobody ever envisioned really, maybe in futuristic novels or something, but nobody ever really envisioned all of the applications and all of the things that can come at you through your telephone, through your computer, through the internet, everything that's going on. There was a time, too, when, say, just sending a very short video would have been a major accomplishment on the internet. And now you can download videos, movies, you can have them, you know, somebody in one room in your house running a one movie, another guy playing a video game, which is very high intensity communication back and forth, up and down, upload, download, etc. Another person running a program or doing something. All of this on the same internet connection, and millions of people around the country have this. And the memory requirements, etc., it's just phenomenal. Nobody back then, the IBM 1130 computer that I used, wasn't connected to anything. There was no telecommunications. There was no networking. There was no internet. You know, all of this stuff has come since then. And so now the next step in the process is to get all of the human beings wired into the AI network. And just think how amazing it will be that you won't even have to have a telephone, because you can talk and have maybe think your thoughts and have them broadcast out to other people. Wouldn't that be wonderful? This is getting pretty edgy as far as the Looney Tune. And they're installing these technologies without asking you. They're not asking your permission. When is the last time that Bill Gates or Elon Musk came up to your door and knocked on and says, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, what do you think about me putting 10,000 satellites up there that are going to have 5G connection, and eventually we're going to put graphene oxide in your body so we can have you on the AI network? They didn't ask me. They didn't come up to my door and ask me. No. Did they do it to your door? No, I don't think so. So anyway, this is an issue that people have to understand. Now I'm going to go into the last phase of this discussion. How can you keep this crap from being put into your body or your kids' bodies? And the two main methods of injecting it into somebody's body is by vaccination, or by, in other words, directly injecting it into your system, or by in the water system, distributing it in the water system so everybody gets a healthy dose of this every time you take a drink of water or take a shower. So how can you eliminate that? Well, a long time ago, I realized that the most crucial issues on the planet are energy, water, and of course, air, and food. Those are the big ones. Those are the things you need. You can live without a shelter. You can live without a lot of things. I mean, if you live, I, I'll tell you something. People say, well, you can't if you're up in a cold climate. I lived outside. I lived in central Canada when I was younger. After I came back from Cornell after that fiasco, I went up and I spent some time in central Canada through the winter. And I did not have a shelter. I did not have a house. I did not have a tent. I lived outside and did just fine. Not a problem. So you can live without shelter. I've lived in the tropics without shelter. And so you can do this. That's not an issue. But I'll tell you, you can't live without clean water. You can't live without food. You can't live without clean air. And, you know, energy is something that even if you're on a very primitive level, you need some form of energy, whether it's cooking food, whether it's sterilizing things, whether it's boiling water so you have clean water, whatever it is, you're going to need some level of energy. So those are the four big ones. So what I did is I positioned myself in front of those industries. And now if you look at my webpage, I have the grow towers. I have the wing generator for the energy and all the things that go with it. And then the water purification stuff, the water from the air machines, reverse osmosis, the water from the air machines I used in the XPRIZE competition. Finalist won the Technology Innovation Achievement Award for the using the wing generator with the atmospheric water generators technology. The water filtration equipment that you see on my JMCC water filters page, all of those things I consciously did. It wasn't like I just did things and they happened to fall into the right place. I had to consciously go out and say, this is what I got to do. I got to get to the point where I have world-class water filtration systems, and I have to be able to mass produce them, and I have to have something that can ship so it doesn't arrive all smashed. And I have to be able to do this in a form factor that can be easily used by the public. And for decades, literally decades, I've sold the kitchen, those stainless steel gravity water filters. And they were originally designed by Dalton, which I sold the original Daltons way back when. That was one of the first ones I ever sold, was and the other ones. But anyway, what's the situation today? Well, a gravity water filter in the kitchen only filters cold water. It doesn't do anything for your hot water. So if you have PFAS chemicals or glyphosate or arsenic or anything coming in your water system, it's coming through the hot water and you're not filtering it at all. So a kitchen gravity water filter is not going to cut it in today's world. And here's a little fun fact. I did some calculations, and if you add up what it's going to cost you over a 10-year period to purchase gravity water filters, just the replacement filters, you will have paid for an MR5 whole house water filter, which is going to filter all of your water, the hot and the cold, and for the whole house, for the shower and the bathroom sink and everything else, hot and cold, you're going to filter the whole house for the same amount of money. So, you know, and you have the health issue. What does a day in the hospital cost? A day in the hospital is going to run you $10,000 to $15,000. Compare that to $1,600 to buy a water filter that's going to clean up the water that you're using for the whole family. You know, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. If you're counting pennies, if you don't have the money, then you don't. But I would say 99% of all the people out there do. And you have the ability to get technology that's going to clean this stuff out of your water. And the current situation with the nanoparticle graphene oxide is it's big. It's big. And if there's any small pieces in there, there's extremely few of them. There's very few of them. Another thing about graphene oxide is it does not reproduce in your body. It's not like spike proteins. Your body's not going to take graphene oxide, look at it, and say, I'm going to produce more of this. No. It's only limited to the amount that they can get into your body by some nefarious means. And so the trick is to filter out the absolute majority of it. And once it starts attaching to cells, or if it's targeted, say, for different parts of your body or your brain, the trick is to get the vast majority of it out of your water. And filtration is always a percentage. You will never find a filter or a filtration product that says 100% guaranteed everything 100%. No, it's always a percentage, 99%, 95%, 98%, whatever. It's always some percentage. The higher the percentage, the better. So in the case of graphene oxide, the trick is to get the majority of it out of your water. And if you're really capable of doing this, move out into the country, get a well where you're getting this out of the water, and you know that there's nobody around putting this in your water, even though the PFAS chemicals are in the water everywhere. They get down in the water table. They too, like graphene oxide, can spread. They distribute in water. And so over time, if they get enough pollution where they can spread graphene oxide into the water table, then it will get everywhere into the water table. So anyway, once again, I'm just encouraging people that the coupon code that I gave at the beginning of the show, 10% off, there's already a 10% off sale. That's going away soon because our ordering is to the point where there's no need for a sale anymore. And so I'm doing this as a favor to my audience. I'm giving you a heads up that next Thursday, by my show next Thursday, this 10% sale is going to be off, and the 10% extra coupon for a total of 20% off is going to go away. And that coupon code, once again, is JMCC, J, M as in Mary, CC, four letters. Put that in at checkout, and that's 10% off anything that you order. Plus, you already get the 10% discount that's already there. I would highly encourage you. And by the way, I'll just mention this also. We are about a month behind on shipping. And that's not because we're lazy and slow. It's because we're busy. People are waking up to the fact that they need a whole house water filter. They don't want to be showering in or brushing their teeth with polluted water. The hot and cold water, both are filtered because this filters the water at the point of entry in the house. Before it splits to go to the hot water heater, you're filtering your water there. And there's an add-on ultraviolet final filter that if any biological type things get through, viruses or bacteria, they're probably not going to make it through that ultraviolet filter, the best on the market. So once again, the webpage, jmccwaterfilters.com. My main webpage is jmccsci.com. You can get to the water filter page from there also by just clicking on the water filter link at the top. And that will all end, 10% plus 10%, 20%. That's all going to end next Thursday. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.